Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Talk Productions, presenting Black Urban America, one of the few black-owned internet radio stations in America. The lineup: Saturday, we have a popular girl with Carl Sneed. Tuesday evening, we have Black Urban America with Kenny Jones, myself. Every third Tuesday, we have T. Nathan Farley. On Wednesdays, even though he's been missing for a while, we have the Elephant in the Room with Shaka Sulu. And in January, we will be adding a couple more programs to the lineup. But this evening, it's a sad evening for me because I have met one of the finest ladies, not black ladies, but ladies. In America. No, in the world. She is a soldier. She's on the front lines, not only in America. She back up what she talks. She back up what she speaks. And my hand, like I'm in school again, you know, and I learned a lot from her this year. I just wish I, as we all have our journeys, and she must go on, because you're going to see this lady in the white media, because she got that much offer to the world. My God, she have a street name after her in Minnesota. She's to me, she's a great, fine woman, and she's a pillar of our community, and she's an example and a role model for every black woman, not just in America, but all over the world. And this is her last our last show. Her name is Miss Ann Diller. Welcome to our final show together.
Hey, my brother Kenny, how am I going to speak after that introduction? My goodness.
Hey, you know what? I'm speaking from the heart, no notes. All of that is from the top of my head.
Thank you for the kind words and for creating this amazing platform to connect and educate our community.
Before we get into our topic tonight, I would just ask
you
a couple of things, right?
Yes, sir.
To get into this fight.
Okay, I'm losing you. I think you're
families
in and
young
out.
Women.
Ask me that again because I'm
what
just going
you,
in and out and I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay. Before we get into the topic tonight, what made you get into this fight and helping women all over the world? And I just want to remind people. You just don't do work in America. You do work all over the world. I follow you on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, sir. You know, one of the things that I wish I knew when I was younger was that my uniqueness was a gift to the world. You know, my uniqueness as in my dark complexion, my round face, my whatever people would laugh at and make fun of, that would be a gift to the world. I wish I knew that. And so I have, by the grace of God, positioned myself in places where other black girls can look at me, other dark-skinned black girls who struggle with their self-esteem, with feeling seen and heard, can look at me and say, you know what, if Miss Ann can do that, I can do that too. And so that's the fight. And another thing that compels me to do this globally is because I believe that that's a calling that God has put on my life. And so while the anointing still flows, I'm going to move with it.
Let me ask you something. In your fight,
sir.
In your struggles, in helping women throughout the world, before I ask this question, any of you folks that want to ask questions and everything, 909-265-9215 and press 1. How can we men assist our women in the struggle?
Wow. That is a really powerful question. That's a pretty loaded question, too.
I always ask you these loaded questions, aren't I?
Yes, you do. You ask me the most loaded questions. I think that men can assist women in the struggle by first recognizing that, you know what, this is not a competition. We complement each other. We don't compete with each other. We complement each other. And I think if we, together, man, we are dynamic together, just dynamic. And to see your sister as a compliment is a really a compliment to human race, period. And so it's not about cutting down or it's not about the woman trying to outdo the man or anything like that. It's about how do we complement each other to build and create a better legacy and a better society for our people.
Okay. And you know, that always been a remedy. And why is it so difficult for, especially in our communities, why is it so difficult for men to see their woman as equals and as equals,
okay.
and not competitive. It's not competition.
Right.
It's a
right.
partnership. It's a partnership. Equal
yeah.
for equal. You know, why is it so
and
hard?
Even
in this century, with the last 30 years of changing male images, like, for example, especially the time of year, you see a lot of commercial women caring for the children, taking children to the daycare, changing Pampers, and what have you. Why do we still, in this century, have this image that we still got to compete?
Yeah, I think part of the issue that we face in society has to do with the oppression that men feel as a whole. And so a lot of times when you don't feel valued and you don't feel important, you don't feel significant, that also affects what you bring to the table. It affects your personality. It affects how the joy or lack of that you reflect. And I think really, I think it's the more people are loved, the more people are appreciated and valued, the more they have to give. And so I know that the more I love my children, the more I love my family, the more love they have to give. And if we don't learn how to do that, and we haven't learned how to do that, and we continue to bombard, especially our men, with all the concerns and all the oppression that's going on, I think, and it's not providing an excuse, but I think it makes life a lot more difficult for them to realize their value and in turn value somebody. You know that phrase, hurt people,
mm-hmm.
Again, not an excuse, but an explanation for some of the possibilities.
I told you, folks, she's dynamic. I told you. Okay, Sister Ann, I turn the mic over to you. I know we're supposed to be setting goals and discussing resilience for our communities. Hey, I just want to say something. And, you know, I really, you know, with the different people I had on the shows, I'm starting to change my thinking that it starts with the family, which make better communities. And it started inside the household for our communities and whatnot. And we got to save our communities because we are losing them.
Yes.
We are losing
absolutely.
Our communities. Whether it be diversity, whether it be to gangbangers, whether it be to crime. Let me step back with the gangbangers. The gangbangers ain't the same gangbangers that they were in the 90s. I mean, truly, some of these guys are trying to come out of these gangs and trying to start legit businesses, especially in Cali. I can't speak up anywhere else in America, but I keep on reading articles in California gangs that they're trying to go legitimate. And they're trying to keep young kids out of gangs. But we're going to join the gang. They're trying to be positive, go political, address different issues concerning the communities. It may not be like that everywhere in the United States, but at least in some parts, they are starting to get the message that black folks got to stop killing black folks because there's enough folks that was dead. There's enough other
absolutely.
Folks that were, especially black men, dead. You know,
that's so true. And the thing about it is when we look at you losing our youth to gangs, we also, whether it was back then or whether it's now, we really have to look at what need does the gang serve? What need does it meet in the lives of our youth? And so
you want to know something? Sorry to cut you off. Back 10 years ago, I used to do a couple of workshops addressing that issue. You know, it served a couple of purposes. Brotherhood. You know, when you are an adolescent male, first thing you want to do is belong to a group. You know, some people, some guys fine in sports, but not every kid is an athlete. You try to find certain religious group, but not everybody is religious. Everybody wants to belong to a group. Fellowship.
Right.
Guys like fellowship. You know,
right.
A sense of belonging. Now, it may be a negative route. It may be a negative route, but a sense of belonging to something that stands for something. And that's why
you
need to turn that negative message into a positive message. Maybe we have something here. You know?
That's right. Because when we think about it, you know, when we think about the sense of belonging, that's one of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have so many different needs. And belonging is one of the major need that comes under social. So we have the physical need, right? That's the bottom, the foundation, where we need water, air, food, rest, good health. That's physical, and that's at the bottom. That's the key, the foundation of our human needs. Then we need security, right? And sometimes when we think about the gang, they provide security too. Shelter, stability, a sense of, and then you move up the hierarchy, the levels, and now you have social, the need to be loved, the need to feel like you belong, the need to be included. And so even when you go into different institutions, let's say, for example, into schools, sometimes you find the kids who are not included, or they've been made fun of, or they've been shunned, or stuff like that. They form their own group,
right?
Because that's somewhere they can belong. So that's a core natural need that we have, the need to belong. And if we're not finding belongingness in our family of origin, right, we will look for that. It doesn't negate the fact that we still have that need. And in that, within that need, and when we're talking about the game,
now I'm gonna turn this mic over to you. And anybody again that have a question or comment, please press 1, and we're gonna discuss setting goals in our communities. Resilience in our families and our communities. You on?
Absolutely. Now you get me started on one thing, and we got to switch.
Well, and we just keep on. You know that well, we just got to discuss. You know, that's my hot topic. You know, I could discuss that every week of the month. That doesn't bother me. You know, those are my issues. Like you focus on the women and the young ladies and the young girls and the marriages. I'm focused on brothers.
Because
brothers do need support. There's not enough. I keep on saying this. I say this week in and week out. Or not week in, week out. I say this month in and month out. Black men do not have the support that other segments of society have.
I don't know
because we're intimidating. I don't know because of our swag. I just thought of our history, of our image, and because I keep on saying this too, and I get a lot of pushback for this, America. And I talk to other cultures all the time. And I ask this question. America paints a negative image of the black man in America.
Absolutely.
And they've been doing for decades. They just didn't start doing this. They've been doing this for decades.
Yeah. Because in centuries, because the black man wasn't brought to America to succeed. The black man wasn't brought to America to progress. The black man was brought to America to build the economy.
Mm-hmm. And we still are.
So, exactly. Why do you think, well, I can get real political and talk about the number of black men who are behind bars, who's producing free labor to build different areas of the country, right?
And you know, a lot of corporations have you'd be surprised at the corporations that had contracts with the Department of Corrections in America. You'd be surprised how many towns are dependent on the Department of Corrections contracts. And guess what? There is Corrections of America is a call. They have a seat on the stock exchange for the past 15 years.
Man, yeah.
That's how much money is generated. And you got to remember, that's why a lot of corporations go to the foreign countries and make the goods in these foreign countries because of cheap labor. And what is cheaper than the labor than the in the prison system? 25 cents an hour.
It comes back to that dollar, doesn't it?
That's right. It's all about the dollar.
Yeah. And so as we're talking about the dollar and we're talking about the system, I think we have to align ourselves in the way as we make plans for the new year. This is the time where, most people come together and they're establishing goals and they're talking about the things that they want to do for the new year, right? Whether it's to lose weight, whether it's to make more money, whether it's to connect with your family or build better relationships. Either way, this is like one of the most common topics that our families are talking about is making goals, setting goals for the new year. And I found a tool that I found it to be really interesting and really all-inclusive of making these goals, and that's called the 9 environments of you, right? So typically when we make goals, let's say we make our New Year's goal, we're like, okay, I want to lose 10 pounds. That's easy to say on December, December 15th, December 30th, and then by January 15th, we've fallen off the wagon because we haven't taken time to set up and intentionally plan how we're going to make this happen. We have to intentionally plan to make these goals a reality. And in order to do so, we have to set it up. We have to set up systems, put systems in place to make sure that we are we're able to be successful in reaching our goals. So that's what this tool talks about. And again, it's called the 9 environments of you. So if you're taking notes, you can Google it. And there's even an assessment that goes, a PDF assessment that goes along with what I'm talking about, so you can look for that on Google. It's called The Nine Environments of You. And so
yes,
what are environments? Yes. So what are environments? Environments are things around us that's always happening and it's always interacting time and time and time again. So, for example, I'm going to go through and list off the environment. So if you are listening, I want you to, like, draw a circle. And in the inside circle, the inner circle, is you. That's who you are. That's your core, your being. That doesn't change, right? That's you. And you label that you. And right next to you is one, the first environment that's called the mimetics. And if you look at the word mimetics, M-E-M-E-T-I-C, it looks like, what do you think that word looks like, Brother Kenny?
Mimetic.
The closest one to you. Mimetic.
What's
that
the closest
word,
one?
The mimetic, it's close to you. That's the first environment.
It's me.
Meme, yes. And meme comes from that. You know how we see those memes on social media that tells the story, right? That's where mimetics, that's where it comes from. It comes from mimetics.
Okay.
Right?
I got
and
the circle,
so,
and I got the dot inside the circle, which is me. Mimetic is the first part. I got that.
Is the first part, right? And your mimetics, now, the reason why that's so important, these are your core beliefs. These are your ideas. These are your knowledge. These are your cultural norms. That's why it's so close to the you, who you are. The mimetics is very close to who you are, right?
Let me ask you something.
Then,
you brought up something
yes.
very profound, the core beliefs. Do you feel that the generation behind us have core beliefs and foundations? Do you think we really help our Generation Y and millennials? And, of course, I did a little show, a little lecture last Tuesday, 30 minutes, talking about the millennials and Generation Y, how it's versus against the baby boomers. Do you think
mm-hmm.
because they say there's a lot of conflict. Do you think the reason why we have this conflict because we really didn't do a good job in teaching the core beliefs or foundation, or they don't believe in the core beliefs that we taught them?
You know what? I think that they do have core beliefs. It don't look like necessarily like our beliefs look. Just like the generation or two above us, they might say that our generation don't have the same core beliefs, right?
Right.
So things change from generation to generation. Now, you know, have we slacked off on passing on some of our values and our core beliefs? I think we've slacked off some, but it doesn't mean that there's a void in those core beliefs.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that there's a void. There are. They have beliefs. We might not even. They might not align with our beliefs, right? But they're nevertheless, they are beliefs based on their own experiences and what they have been taught as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
anybody else that have a comment or a question, just press 1. Because we got a lot of people that are listening tonight, Sister Ann.
All right.
Your finale.
All right. Well, I hope to give them some information. And yes, if you want to chime in, please join the conversation. So we have the mimetics, right? And then the body environment. The body environment. That's talking about your health, your physical body, your energy. Then we also have the next box that I want you to label as you go around in the circle is the self environment. That's your personality, your gifts, your talents, What are you good at? What are your strengths? And your emotions come in into this environment as well, self. The next environment is spiritual. Okay, this is spiritual, your connection to your higher power, your connection to God, whatever you call your highest source, love and self also is encompassed in spiritual. Okay, so it's all going to come together. Just bear with me. The next environment is relationships. That is a critical environment. This is where, you know, your relationship with friends, family, close colleagues, your support system, core environment. Then the next one I want you to label is network. This one is your community, right? And how do you define community? My community is pretty broad. It's more than where I live physically. So your network is your community, your strategic partners or your customers, who you serve. Right. The next one is finances. Okay. So financial environment have to do with money, budgeting, investing, and also insurance, which is a lot of times that's one thing in our community we've fallen off from protecting ourselves through insurance.
Yeah, I just bought the life insurance about a month ago.
Okay, that's very important. That's very important. So that's the key environment. And then you have the physical environment. The physical environment is like your home, your office space, your furnishings, the equipment that you use, you know, your phone, your laptop, your computer, your car, technology. That's all a part of your physical environment. And then nature. We cannot forget about nature. Nature is a very significant part of our environment. So the outdoors, what do we enjoy is beautiful, the seasons. And also in nature is the cycle of life, right? And we talk about transitions and life stages. We have birth, you know, we have adolescent or infant. When we go to adolescent and we go to young adult, we go to the more mature adult. You know, we have these life cycles that is a part of nature. So why is it important to look at these nine environments? It's important because the environments are always interacting with each other. They're always 24/7, subconsciously or consciously. They're interacting, influencing each other, and things, you know, they're making things happen all the time, right? And so here's something that I want you to catch about the environment. Your environment is either inspiring you or it's expiring you.
The environment is what?
Right? Either inspiring you or it's expiring you.
Right.
So when you take a look at these nine areas, it's important to say, am I being inspired, or is it when you're being inspired, that's positive energy. It's moving you to be for a better life. It's, you know, catapulting you to do amazing things. That's inspiring. But if it's
so this really is a self-examination or a self-assessment of oneself, of where you're coming from, what you're doing, and where you want to go. And we got to start thinking that way.
Yes. Yes. You have to think about, okay, even when you say yes to different things, is it inspiring you or is it inspiring you, right? And you, and in order to be able to answer that, you have to have some awareness of who you are and what your goals are, right? And so I'm getting to the goal setting. expiring is the negative energy and draining, and you become stagnant and stuck. That's expiring, right? And some of us, a lot of us are in relationships that's expiring us.
Mm-hmm.
It's draining us. It's pulling on our energy. So the powerful thing about this is that we have the ability to design, to intentionally design our environments around us. It's all connected. We have the ability to intentionally design. So here's the thing. When you look at setting a goal, so let's say your goal is to, a common goal is to lose weight, right? So when you're making your goal for 2020, whatever it is, instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to lose weight, so what I need to do is just to go to the gym physically, I want you to think about how powerful it is for you to intentionally design your environment. So you look at self and say, what do I need to do in the self environment to accomplish this goal? How do I need to use my gifts and my talents and my strengths and my personality to move towards this goal of weight loss? What do I need to do in the body environment, right, to increase my energy and positive energy, to increase my health? Well, in the body environment, you might need to go get a physical, right? A lot of us don't do that, right? We might need to exercise 3 to 5 times a week. You might need to, pick your foods that's healthy. Drink enough water, right? Protect your body from all those toxins that pollute your body. Get movement in your body. Get enough sleep. Go to the dentist, right? And keep learning from experts who are doing this and can teach you more about it. So in your body environment, you can do stuff like that. In your self environment, you can also think about, what am I passionate about? What are my fears? What are my fears about losing weight? Or what are my fears about developing a different body type? What are my fears that might be holding me back? In the self environment, it's also important to have clear boundaries that your people in you're in a relationship with know these boundaries and enforce those boundaries. And also, it's important to ease up on yourself and don't beat yourself up, right, in your self environment. So those are just a few in the self environment. Now, you can take that all the way across your financial environment. You know, that should also reflect your goal. Your goal is to lose weight. Let's look at how is that impacting my finances. That means you're not just randomly spending on snacks and food and other things like that, right?
And fast foods.
Right, right. That means, you know, if you're spending money, you're looking at, am I buying food that's going to build, inspire me and not expire me? Is this food going to inspire my physical body and not expire me? Right? And one of the core things about this environment that we're talking about, let's go back to the memetics. The memetics is closest to you because, you know what? Successful people are always upgrading their memetics. Always. Because here's the thing. Remember, memetics include your core beliefs and your values.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, by the time between the ages of 1 and 10, you have formed your values and your belief system is already formed. Your belief system is already formed when you're 10 years old. Can you imagine being in a relationship with a person who has not upgraded their belief system since they were 10?
Yes, I do believe it. Yes, I do believe it. Yes. Yes.
So,
yes, I do.
So you have to upgrade.
I do believe it. Yes.
Yeah.
You have
to upgrade your belief system. And how do you do that? You upgrade
and
your belief system
by putting. And sometimes it's unconsciously. They don't even know.
No, that's right. It's subconsciously happening. And so by reading, by, you know, traveling, by exploring, and by expanding your network, these are some of the ways you upgrade your belief system. Expose yourself to people who are different from you so you can get a better understanding.
But isn't that dangerous,
isn't
that dangerous for us as a people? Mm-hmm. I think we've been exposing ourselves to other cultures like for the past 30, 40, 50 years. And it really has. It has benefit others. It has others, but it looked like it had expired us.
Well, here's the thing, exposing, and this is one of the things that I struggle with. We have to have a conscious belief or operating system of who we are. Because you are exposed to someone or a different lifestyle or something different, it doesn't mean that you have to jump ship and change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It means that it broadens your understanding, right? It means that you can understand things from a different perspective and not just from the narrow perspective that you bring with the limited 10-year-old belief system. But if you don't know who you are, you feel like exposing yourself to others and other people's beliefs. Beliefs mean that you have to change and subscribe to their belief system. I can respect things other people do, and that's not my belief system. That's not my core belief. But I respect you and what you do. I'm not going to knock your beliefs, but that's not my belief system. I don't feel compelled to change my belief system because that's what you believe. Right.
Okay.
So that is important. And if we keep operating on old school beliefs, it doesn't mean that old school is bad or wrong. I'm just gonna leave it at it's important to update and upgrade our belief system. It just is. So when we're setting the goals, it's important, like I said, to set it across the environment and the environments and do those things that will help you to reach success. It will help you to, you'll have a more opportunity or opportunities to be successful in what you do. And part of that is, I like that quote by Mahatma Gandhi that says your beliefs come from your thoughts. Your thoughts, or your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. So it's definitely important to keep your beliefs in check and know what it is that you believe. And sometimes upgrade your belief system because you know what? Sometimes some of the things and the messages that we receive in our childhood that help to form our belief systems, sometimes they no longer serve us positively.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't longer serve us. Sometimes they are fear-based. And so we have to let go of those belief because they are expiring us. So if you
I want
you to think about
my core beliefs. I like I like Cuba, but some of the beliefs I learned at 14, 15, 13 years old helped me get through where I was behind enemy lines, where I was developing as a man. But my core beliefs are from different institutions that their belief system were always in tune in for the black man to become better, to become a better father, to become a better husband, to build a business. And I mean, those were type of core beliefs I don't want to get rid of.
Exactly, and you don't have to get rid of them. But I think it's important to examine your core beliefs. And if there is anything in there that no longer serves you, or is there anything in there that is expiring you, right? Because as children, we've gotten some messages that's not helpful for us. Especially messages about who we are that no longer serve us. That's not helpful for us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the children who were brought up in abusive households. You know, you ever hear a parent, you ever in the store and you hear a parent say, "Get over here, you little, you know, so-and-so, you good for nothing," you know, stuff like that. So then that helps to form that child's belief system. That, I'm good for nothing. I'm this, I'm that. You know, those are the things that we have to get rid of.
I'm glad you said that system, that sentence, because you also could take that system and make out setting goals for the families. How can we change our communication? How can we change our interaction? How can we change our dynamics? How can we get better as a family instead of staying the same?
I love that. I love that. And look at how your family is operating. And if it's not operating, if it's expiring instead of inspiring, look at your family closer and say, what are the things that we need to change in our family? How can we upgrade our memetics? How can we, what do we need to do around relationships? What do we need to do around finances? You know, what are our beliefs about money? And do we need to change those beliefs? What are our beliefs about our body? And do we need to change? Do we need to upgrade those beliefs? And I think it's really, really important that, you know, we look at our, again, where is our family showing up short? And also recognize and celebrate what we're doing great as a family. How's our family
doing?
What do we keep doing?
Sister Ann, do you think that families as a whole are doing well today, or just parents are too busy trying to survive? I'm talking about the average family. I'm not talking about the 1%. Okay? I'm talking about the average family. That their parents go to work, children go to school, they don't spend that much time, children activities, parents doing their thing. You think the parent nucleus has expired or has inspired? Or you think parents aren't raising their children? Is technology raising their children? Social media raising their children? That's an upgrade. Media raising their children? All these things was to do to, all these things was developed to, it was invented to inspire. Well, some people think they are expiring.
Exactly. And, I think generally families are doing the best they can. I really do. Now, whether or not that's good enough, that's a different story. But I think generally
families
are
doing the
best they can.
What is good enough? Who are we to judge? You know,
we can't.
But for some families, having a roof and a food and refrigerator, clothes on your back, And that's all they could do right now is go out and provide.
That's all they can do.
You know, who are we to, maybe they're not living in a mansion or a junior mansion or a townhouse or maybe not going to the best of school. Maybe they don't live in the best of neighborhoods, but they are doing the best they can. And and that's where you come with the core values. Everybody didn't went, but they had the values, whether it was the spiritual, the religion, the educational, or whatever. But at least they had the fundamentals.
Exactly. And I think I think families really genuinely want the best for themselves, their children, their legacy. And I think you know, there's a scripture that says, "For we perish for lack of knowledge." And in order for some of these things to be executed, we cannot, and I emphasize that, we cannot neglect the mental health piece that needs to take place, the mental health healing that needs to take place.
Yeah, that has been an upgrade with black men. With black men in the past 5 to 10 years. Because we were very resistant, and I'm talking about as a culture, we were very resistant to the mental health field. We didn't trust them at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's been an upgrade since we first had our conversation.
I just want to tell the audience, we have 8 more minutes with this lady. 8 more minutes with Sister Ann, and that'll be it. Whatever. So if you have any questions, press 1, okay? If you have any comments or questions, press 1.
Yes. So the biggest thing that I want people to get from this, Brother Kenny, is that you can be intentional. You can be purposeful and you can be deliberate instead of just falling into default, what we've done all along and hasn't worked, or what society say for us to do. And part of, I talked about mental health, but part of being able to reach some of our goals too is going back and unlearning some of those things that society has taught us about ourselves. Right, so that we can upgrade our memetics in those areas and move forward.
And that's what it's all about, making progress and moving forward. But give out your information to the audience. And, you know, some audience, you may just want to contact you in confidence.
Absolutely.
And what have you.
Absolutely. So, again, my name is Ann Dillard. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm licensed in the states of Minnesota and also in Georgia. I have a private practice where I work with primarily teen girls, especially to heal the mother-daughter relationship. And I'm a global citizen, so when I'm not doing my therapy work, I'm traveling and doing global missionary work in
Africa now, right? You're on your way to go to Africa, right, with them T-shirts.
Yeah.
The green T-shirts.
Yeah, we're getting ready. We are getting ready.
I told you,
ready.
I follow you. I told you, I keep an eye on you.
Yes, we got a team of 8.
I don't know. I forgot what it says for the T-shirts, but I know they were green.
Excellent. That one was our friends have a movement that's called Greatness Only, and so he recognized me this month, Giving Month, as a goal giver, and I appreciate that. So you can check him out on social media, G-O, Greatness Only. So that was really cool. But we have some purple T-shirt that says Excellent Black Missionaries as well. And so we wear those when we're on the mission field. because one of the things that I realized when I was in West Africa is that the kids there didn't see a lot of black missionaries. They saw a lot of white women coming and doing good, and so it was like an anomaly to see a black woman doing it, and they would touch me in a way that it's like, are you for real? Are you able? Are you doing this? And that inspired me to keep going back and keep showing.
Yeah, see,
that.
They would start with the negative images about black women in America. But I just want to say this, Stan. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart the time you had given us. And if you need me for anything, to run a men's group, a boys group, or to conduct a workshop, just give me a couple weeks of notice in advance, and I'll be there, volunteer and everything, you know. And if you need me, I'm there.
Thank you
all
so
you
much.
Do
and thank you for this amazing. Thank you, and I appreciate this amazing platform that you've created. Thank you for inviting me to share 2019 with you and your audience. It has definitely inspired me.
Okay. So when were you leaving for? When were you leaving for West Africa?
West Africa, we're not leaving till the middle of March, but we're getting things together. We're shipping things. We're starting our campaign to collect donations. We have a girls' conference that we're going to be doing there. Just a lot of things. Right now, we're shipping supplies to the Bahamas because a lot of people have forgotten about the devastation in the Bahamas because the media is not there anymore, you know. So we forget about that there are people who still don't have a roof over their head or proper drinking water or, you know, a way to meet their basic needs. So my church, we led a campaign at my church to get some supplies to the Bahamas. And so
Example of putting your actions behind your words and your thoughts. Not only you thought it and said it, now you're putting it in action. It's amazing. Yeah. You're amazing, Sister Ann. You're amazing.
Thank
you should be
you
a, no one you got a street name after you. No one you got a street name after you.
I don't know about the street. I know there's a day. But,
a day.
Oh my goodness, you're being prophetic right now, huh? Thank you, Brother Kenny. I love your heart. I love your heart for our people. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Okay, Sister, you take care. You have a wonderful holiday with your family. And a happy New Year. And when you come back for Africa, I'm going to invite you on the show so you can tell us about the trip and all that good stuff.
All right. Absolutely. All right. I definitely will do that.
Okay. Got to go. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
sister. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I told you, folks, she was amazing. She does a lot. Like I said, she doesn't only work in America. She's around the world. She is the product of Pan-Africanism. All right. Okay, I got to go. Another week. Next week, we'll have T. Nathan on. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. See you. Good night.
Hold it now.